The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brethren, I believe that it is safe for me to state that we all have the desire to live in trust and brotherly cooperation. Yet at the same time, many actions in our society seem to contradict these desires. Now, what I mean by that is that we as a people, we seek out self-service stores, and we seek out how to do it yourself projects and skills so that we can do it ourselves. You see, our modern technology has made it seem unnecessary for us to ask anything of another person in the course of our daily lives. If we don't have to, we don't. In fact, all you've got to do is look around and see people walking around with cell phones attached to their ears, or they're playing with it. I mean, whatever they're doing it, I'm calling all of that playing with it. The reason is because they don't want to interact with other people. That's what the recent studies have all shown. The reason that people do this is to tell other people, leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. Now, we come with all kinds of other reasons and all kinds of excuses and all of this, and I would dare say probably not very many, if any of us in this room, actually need a cell phone attached to our ear at all the time. I mean, our lives, pardon me for saying so, is just not that important. That we always have to be in contact with somebody else. 20 years ago, that wasn't so. Today it is. And we're a society that is growing more and more like that. I don't need anybody else. In fact, I don't want anyone else. And what we are seeing through this congregation having come together and remaining together for 20 years is an anomaly. Because they have come to the place they realize not only do we want to be with one another, we've come to the place that we need to be with one another in a very unique way. And that's really what I want us to talk about, because in our society today, the reality is the more privacy we seem to have, the lonelier we are when we get it. In many ways, what happens is we are the loneliest generation probably that has ever lived on the face of the earth. Now, many of us would say, no, I don't agree with that. Okay, fine. You don't have to agree with it. I believe it's a true statement. I believe it's a true statement. Because, you see, there are too many in our society who like it that way. And there's a problem. It's a problem with God and man when you come to that place. And that is a description of our society. I hope that we all realize that Satan is the father of isolation and loneliness. He's the one that's doing it. This is not of God. This is of the devil. And I want us to understand that people not wanting to unite together, not wanting to be in harmony with one another, is not of God. It's of the devil. Because you see, brethren, Jesus has called us into a community of believers so that we can encourage one another to live excellent lives. In fact, I'm not going to go there, but you can go over to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, and you will actually see that that's what it's saying. In fact, the Apostle Paul encouraged us as believers to live in the spirit or in the attitude of one of David's Psalms, where he encourages us that we do this for the glory of God. So us all coming together and marking this for 20 years, this is a glory to God. Go with me to Romans chapter 15 and we'll see this. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. I'm going to read this from the New International Version. Romans 15 verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with those thoughts in mind, I want you to also notice with me how the Apostle Paul encouraged the brethren at Ephesus and Colossae in a very special thing as well. And so let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Again, I'm going to read this from the NIV. Colossians 3, 14. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, I earlier referenced that Paul was referring back to one of the Psalms of King David. And, of course, I think probably most of us would realize that that Psalm is Psalm 133. So if you go with me there to Psalm 133, three verses, we're going to read all three verses. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then in the next two verses, verse 2 and 3, he gives us illustrations so that we can get the point of the first one, which is the main thing. It's good for brothers to dwell together in unity. And then he gives us two examples. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts or to the collar of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, and listen to this, even life forevermore. Well, what we need to realize is that when brothers and sisters are living together in unity, that is where God bestows his blessings, even life evermore. Sad to say, we don't find this in all of the congregations of the Church of God today. And that's sad. It's a shame, and it's reality. But we notice it. We notice it in this Auburndale congregation. We notice it in a few other places. The Church of God in Miami, they're this way. Hopefully, our little group over in Tampa is this way. Hope it is. I think it is. But this congregation sets an example. They set an example, and they've done it strong for 20 years. I want us to understand this. Unity is to God's people like water is to a farmer. That's what David is telling us. In other words, you take away a congregation's unity and it will become a lifeless desert. And we've seen that in different congregations over the years. But not in this one. But not in this one. We understand a community of believers is made up of different ages and stages of life. We know that. We understand that. I mean, we've got newborns, a little bit more than newborns, but they're babies to us, all the way up to people who are old, like me, and others who are even older than I am, but, you know, who've been around for a long, long time. And so we understand that a congregation is made up of different ages and stages of life. And what I mean is when we come together from different backgrounds, different experiences, different gifts, different passions, maybe even different expectations. So when unity takes place, it is a beautiful picture of the blessings that God has that he wants to give to his people. I think he's given it to this congregation. And I'm very happy to have been part of it from the sideline, shall we say, to be able to come in from time to time and witness it and hopefully add to it. And I think all of us would agree this is what we've all wanted. Brother, we also know that we live in a world that is divided over so many different issues, ranging from economics to politics to moralities. What is right? What is wrong? So I think that we can see and we realize that real unity is unique. David, in this psalm, likens unity to the anointing of Aaron as the high priest, with oil being poured over his head, running down upon the collar of his garment. What we understand is this scene was not seen very often. Neither is real unity. And that's the shame. But it is also is the blessing for those who have it. David also goes on to say that unity is refreshing because it's like the morning dew on Mount Hermon, which refresh the vegetation on the mountainside. Therefore, again, we can see real unity refreshes a congregation of believers. So when you come together in unity, you are refreshed. You are refreshed. You are to be. If you're not, you might need to talk about it to someone. Because that is one of the purposes. And again, this congregation stands out as an example of having done that for 20 years. And you see, brethren, a healthy congregation does not focus on its differences. But rather, what it focuses on is the one we have in common, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, we understand that our Savior is the reason for the unity. And I would dare say that this congregation focuses on Jesus Christ. So yes, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. And yes, I think we could also make the statement how good and how pleasant it is when the church focuses on the Father and on the Son.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.